What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now going on 5 seasons, and this is our 3rd season now with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, the offseason is here, so we still have a lot of offseason things to talk about, but we're going to start with the news of the day, which is that Tua Tagovailoa has decided to declare for the NFL draft, which has big implications for the Chargers and them potentially selecting a quarterback in the first round. So we're going to start with that and talk about our thoughts on Tua as a prospect, and then we're going to get into kind of our offseason game plan and talk about a couple of free agents each of us like that the Chargers could target in free agency before wrapping up the show by talking about some draft picks we would like the Chargers to target in the first and second round. So these are very preliminary. We still have a lot of tape to watch on these guys, but this is kind of an early look at some of the guys that we're looking at targeting for the Chargers in the draft. So we're going to end the show with that, but let's go ahead and get into it. The college football and NFL worlds were waiting with bated breath when Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback from Alabama, was making his decision on whether or not he would want to return to school or declare for the NFL draft. And on Monday, he decided that he would enter the NFL draft, which has huge ramifications for the Chargers. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. We now know that Tua is entering the draft in 2020, which for the Chargers picking at number 6 has huge implications on whether or not they're going to take a quarterback this draft season. Joe Burrow more than likely is going to be the first overall pick. The Miami Dolphins are another team that needed a quarterback at position 5, so now there are 3 quarterbacks that are considered first round worthy: Tua, Joe Burrow, and also Justin Herbert from Oregon. So now with this move, unless somebody trades ahead of them, the Chargers will have one of those 3 guys drop to them. It is not clear who they like at this point, but David, for the Chargers, if they are planning on taking a quarterback at 6th overall, this is huge news for them because before there was really only 2 options that could go to them at number 6. So now they might realistically have a shot at Tua Tagovailoa. They're at least going to have a shot at one of those big 3 unless somebody trades up.
It'll be interesting to see at this point if the Chargers decide to pull the trigger on a quarterback. Obviously, we still have a lot that needs to unfold before we get to where the Chargers are ultimately going to make that decision, or, you know, to see how the draft falls. But Tua Tagovailoa went to go check up with his doctors to see, you know, where he was as far as the injury was concerned, and he apparently received some good news, good enough news that made him feel comfortable and confident enough to go ahead and declare for the 2020 NFL draft. And the Chargers, I mean, if he is their guy and they're comfortable and they're confident that he's the next guy that should take this organization into the next 10 to 15 years, then they need to pull the trigger if he's there and available. I mean, he's one of the few guys that I think I'd be okay with them taking at 6th overall, but I mean, who knows if he's even going to get there. But this definitely sends some ripple effects through the Chargers' plans and probably makes them reevaluate who they're looking for at 6th overall.
When Joe Burrow is the hot commodity right now with the performance he put up this season and in the last bowl game, I mean, 7 touchdowns before halftime, 8 touchdowns in total when all things were said and done. But Tua has been the best college quarterback over the last 3 seasons. He would have been a no doubt about it number 1 overall pick more than likely had he not ended his last 2 seasons with injuries. And that's really what it comes down to, because as far as on the field performance goes, Tua Tagovailoa had the number 1 QBR in the country this season ahead of Joe Burrow. So he's an absolute gamer. You wonder if his game is going to have to change at all because of the injuries, and because you don't want him going down the field and taking unnecessary shots, especially at the NFL level, where the guys are even bigger and faster. But as far as on the field product goes, Tua is the complete package. He has the arm strength. He has the ability to read defenses. He's mobile enough to run pass options or whatever you want to run offensively, and mobile enough to get out of the pocket and make plays when things break down. But David at sixth overall. The talent is obviously overwhelming. The only reason you have a chance at Tua is because of the injuries, but that is a huge red flag, and the Chargers would probably need to trade up even if they wanted a chance at him, especially with most people linking him to the Dolphins.
Exactly. I mean, he's most often been linked to the Dolphins. If you talk to the Locked On Dolphins guy, he's been talking about him being a Miami Dolphin for the better part of a year. So it seems like, you know, he's got his sights set on Tua being the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and that might very well happen. They obviously have a need there, but there's so much talent at the top end of this draft that unless, you know, he falls in your lap, I think you got to go best player available. The last thing I want to see the Chargers do is reach for a quarterback at that position when I don't necessarily think that's the right thing to do. If he's not there and you're not sold on him, then you got to go best player available, and you're going to get a guy that's going to help you this year. I think it's time to go look for a championship, so you need to get the pieces that will help you this year achieve that goal.
Of course, when you're picking a first-round pick, for the most part, you want an instant impact player, and the Chargers wouldn't necessarily get that with Tua, depending on how he recovers from that injury. But either way, with Tua declaring for the NFL draft, that is going to have huge ripple effects for the Chargers. And now the spotlight, for the most part, is on the number three pick with Detroit, who obviously has a lot of holes to fill, and they will have a lot of leverage if anyone wants to trade up to guarantee themselves one of those top two quarterbacks. But we do have two more segments to get into. We need to talk about our free agency plan and then get into guys that we like in the first and second round of the 2020 NFL draft coming up right after this. But talking about the offseason and getting into draft talk gets me so excited because it just inspires hope. And another thing that always gets me excited, and you guys already know what I'm going to say, is Blue Chew. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you guys go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON to try it. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free with the promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, well, now it's time to get into our free agency plan for the Chargers. So, obviously, it's a little bit early to be talking about free agency because it doesn't start until March. But there are some guys that, even right now, we think would be good fits for the Chargers when free agency comes upon them. And the thing for the Chargers is that you're going to have your quarterback situation, some of your offensive line situation figured out before you go into the draft, because that's when you need to know who you need to draft after that. So, John, when we're looking at the 2020 free agency class, who's the guy that stands out to you that you think would be a good fit with the Chargers?
Well, one guy I would like to look at, even though it might be an expensive contract, would be Chris Jones from the Chiefs. We need more interior help. Jerry Tillery is still improving his game, and he won't be an instant impact yet, and Mebane is no help at all. Damian Square is looking good. He surprises you, but he's not what you need. So Chris Jones, I think, would be that guy that could help the interior of the defensive line. This past season, he had 9 sacks. Last year, he had 15 and a half. He's also had at least 36 tackles the past 2 years. He has a presence, and he shoots the gap. He gets into the backfield without even trying. All he has to do is hear the sound of the hike or the movement of the ball, and he is already through the line. I think he's someone the Chargers should look at, and if you can get a decent deal, if it's not over the top like a Mario Williams when he joined the Bills type of deal, I think you go for him.
Yeah, and he's definitely going to command a big paycheck. But one thing, if you were going to go for a home run pick for the Chargers, I think that's a great pick for them. I think it solves a huge issue almost single-handedly just because of how good of a player he is. I mean, such a disruptor inside, probably better as a three technique, so he's probably not going to be able to take over full nose tackle duties from Brandon Mebane, though. I think he could probably perform just as well, probably better than he could even at that position. But I remember last season he was something like 9 or 10 games in a row with a sack. This guy shows up week in, week out, and would instantly make your defensive line so much better if you decided to pay up for a player like him. David, in an early look at the 2020 free agent class, who are you looking at?
So for me, I'm looking at upgrades on the offensive line. I want them to bring in someone who's established, who's someone who's been on a really good offensive line, and, you know, someone who can just bring some legitimacy to this Chargers offensive line. And I'm talking about left tackle from the Colts, Anthony Costanzo. I know he plays left tackle, and I know you got Russell Okung, but for me in this scenario, I'd have him over at right tackle and just have a really established veteran. Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money, but this guy's been durable. I mean, 130 games started, 130 games played. You know, he's going to go out there. He's, you know, an incredible presence at tackle, has great length, has great size, has just fantastic pass blocking ability, something that Phillip Rivers desperately needs. So that's where I'm going with my first, you know, pick in the offseason in free agency. I want to see them go get Anthony Costanzo.
Yeah, and he is getting up there in age. He's an older guy, so you wouldn't want to give him too big of a contract, but to have an established presence like that on the offensive line is something that you would take in a heartbeat if you're the Chargers. I mean, a guy like him, especially with the durability that you're talking about, he's somewhere around what you probably had to give Russell Okung when you signed him in free agency, and who knows the future of Russell Okung even going into this next season. So if Russell Okung were to get hurt next year, you'd have a guy who has played a lot of left tackle in his career to jump over to that side. So I don't hate that at all. I'm also going offensive line with my first free agent guy, and that is Brandon Scherff, the former first round pick out of Iowa, who's been on the Redskins for the last few seasons, and he is getting done with his first 5-year contract in the NFL as a first-round pick. And he's a guy that has been very consistent in his career so far. I mean, he's never had a grade below 70 on Pro Football Focus. He plays right guard, which is where you have Michael Schofield leaving. And even though Michael Schofield was one of the best Chargers offensive linemen last season, it doesn't mean that's not a position that you don't have to address this offseason. Just bring Michael Schofield back is not going to fix the offensive line. So one thing with Brandon Scherff is that you're kind of betting on him while he's down a little bit, having been injured the last couple of seasons. So you're buying low on a guy who has a really high ceiling and has been the model of consistency in his career. So I really like Brandon Scherff. I think he'd be a solid upgrade over pretty much everyone the Chargers have on the offensive line. But a 75 overall grade in 2019 in the 11 games that he played. So he's been a very solid player. So, John, let's get to the second free agent that you're looking at this offseason. Who did you have in mind for the Chargers that you think would fit well?
Well, I went with a guy that I think is going to be able to play alongside Casey Hayward on the other side of the field, and it would be Chris Harris Jr., who is 31 years old, so he's up there in age. So he's probably not going to be expecting that big of a contract. So money-wise, I think he would help. And then he's pretty good at man coverage. He gets an interception. He doesn't get a lot of interceptions, but he gets one at least every single year, which is not something you can say about the other guys that are helping on the other side of Casey Hayward. But he tackles a lot better than our guys as well.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Davis and Trevor Williams, whoever you're going to put on that other side, Brandon Faison, Chris Harris is going to tackle better than them. And I think that alone helps a lot. If someone messes up and lets a receiver catch a ball, Chris Harris flies around the field and makes tackles all over the field. He is around the ball. And that is something I appreciate a lot out of this guy, is no matter where the ball is at, you will always see him in the little picture on your TV screen, Chris Harris, somewhere near that ball.
Yeah, and I mean, wouldn't you kind of just want him to take him away from the Broncos? I mean, just to have the Broncos not have him. I mean, he's been such a thorn in the Chargers' side since he's been with the Broncos. And a lot of people think that maybe his best position now is slot corner, which is something the Chargers are set in with Desmond King, but he's an absolute upgrade over Michael Davis or whoever you have thought of as your starter across from Casey Hayward right now. And you have to love the physicality that he brings. He's not a guy that's afraid to throw his nose in on a tackle and finish tackles. I mean, he plays through the whistle. He has that mentality that you love to see out of your corner. I mean, just a really hard-nosed blue-collar guy that, you know, brings his lunch pail to work, and you wouldn't want to meet in the streets with a guy whose nickname is Strap Harris. So that's a guy you want on your team, not a guy you want to play against. David, who's the second guy you thought of as far as free agents go?
So the second guy I thought of, which I actually kind of just switched to, and someone who I really have admired from, you know, pretty up close. And I hate to take another Bronco, but I'm going to go Derek Wolfe. I think Derek Wolfe is a guy that I don't think will command a lot of money, but I just love the way he plays. He's physical. He always seems to get into the backfield. He's good against the run. He's, you know, just one of those dog type players you want on your team. And I think he would absolutely bring an intensity and an attitude to the Chargers offense, the Chargers defensive line that's been lacking in the last several years. I think it would be a good, solid pickup that wouldn't cost a lot of money and would still have some openings for some to address some other needs. So Derek Wolfe is my second signing.
Yeah, and you'd have to kind of move him, you know, from being that 3-4 defensive end to trying to play a defensive tackle position. But if you're talking about a guy who brings the mentality that Anthony Lynn wants for this football team, that mean guy that I think he literally said he was going to eat somebody's babies at one point. Derek Wolfe is a crazy man, but yes, he fits that mold of a guy who's going to change up the mindset of a defense. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you just have so much respect for watching him go up against the Chargers so many times. And the guy I'm going to talk about next, it kind of goes along with where you guys are talking about, at least the same position at defensive tackle, and that's DJ Reader, who I've been really impressed with this year on the Texans. He's another guy that right now plays in that 3-4, but I think he could easily move down to nose tackle and play a 0 or 1 technique in place of Brandon Mebane. And this guy, I mean, is just a disruptor. He's a huge guy. He's a huge presence in the middle of the field, which is something that the Chargers really need. I mean, I thought Sylvester Williams did a nice job for them in the middle just because he was able to really plug up holes. But DJ Reader, for his size, for a guy who's, you know, 330-plus pounds, had 52 tackles, 28 solo tackles this season, as well as 2.5 sacks, which doesn't jump off the page. But the one difference for him in the pass rush, John, and what I like about him is he can still push the pocket. Even if he's not getting those explosive numbers in the sack game, he's pushing the pocket. He's making it easier for the guys on the edge to really get involved and get big sack numbers and things like that. But he's absolutely exploded this season. He has an 85.3 run defense grade this year, an 87.8 grade overall, and he's had at least a 76.1 Pro Football Focus grade in each of the last three seasons. But when I look at the Chargers defense and somebody they need in the middle, if they were to take one of these guys in the middle, it would really help them going into the draft, not necessarily needing that position.
Yes, and what you bring up with how he collapses the pocket, basically he just shoves the offensive lineman that's in front of him backwards. He's not getting stats, but that alone can disrupt a running quarterback. If you have someone like a Patrick Mahomes who likes to run, and you're collapsing the pocket with Bosa and Ingram on the outside, and you've got someone like Reader pushing the defensive tackle into Mahomes' face, that prevents the quarterback from running anywhere. And that, to me, does more than getting a tackle for a loss or getting a sack. Because you might get one or two sacks a game, but what happened all the other plays when you did not get there? Did Patrick Mahomes escape the pocket? Did he make a big play? Or were you constantly keeping him contained, and all the plays you didn't get a sack, they were just incomplete passes or someone else got a sack? That, I think, is a really unappreciated stat, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I think Chris Jones has that kind of ability too, but he also shoots a gap. If we were to get any of those three guys that were just mentioned right now, it would help the D-line a lot. And I think that would take away one of your draft picks. You wouldn't have to go after a defensive lineman in the draft if you were to sign just at least one of those guys. So I think getting at least a defensive tackle in free agency has to be a must for this defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to add a body on the defensive line and a body on the offensive line before they ever get to the draft, and not let them go into it like they did last year with Sam Tevy as the starting right tackle and no clear answer besides Russell Okung. So I think you're right. I mean, if you get any of those three guys, this is a much better class than it was last year. These are much more attractive free agents for the Chargers to go after, and they actually have the salary cap to go make a splash signing, depending, I mean, on what happens with the quarterback. But they have a ton of cap space. They could get in on the action with one of these guys, and it would tremendously improve not just the talent on the defensive line and offensive line, but it would really just help the overall physicality of this team as a team who, you know, wants to be known as a really physical team, which is something that they haven't been over the last few seasons. But we do have one more segment to get into. It's draft season almost. So we're going to be talking about guys that we're looking at in the first and second round that make sense for the Chargers right now. Coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into some draft talk. I know you guys always want to hear about the draft, so we're excited to be talking about the draft with you guys. And on today's show, we're going to just be getting into a very preliminary look at who we like right now in the first and second round of the 2020 draft. There's obviously a lot of film to be watched. There's a lot of combines and all-star games and things like that where these guys' draft stock are going to either skyrocket or plummet or stay the same. So there's a lot that still has to happen, but I thought it would be fun to go over guys we're looking at right now that we're going to take a deeper look at, and that we would be happy if the Chargers took them at the picks that we're going to be talking about today. So let's start with the first round pick. And John, I really liked your answer for this. Who do you have for your first round pick, sixth overall for the Chargers?
Well, as of right now, pretty early in my draft scouting, I'm looking at Derrick Brown from Auburn, who is really good at shooting the gap. This guy's really good at stopping the run. He can shoot any gap that you want him to, and he's really good with his hands. His hand technique is amazing. He can shoot any offensive lineman off of him. Once the ball is hiked, if offensive lineman tries to get a push on him, his hand technique is so good, he can actually unhinge one of the offensive lineman's hands and then push that offensive lineman with the same hand and get an advantage in the gap. And that, I think, can help a lot. If you're not willing to sign an offensive lineman and your only option at QB is Tua at six, I don't know if you want to take the risk on an injury-ridden QB, and you might just want to go for the best defensive tackle you can get and then go for someone like a Jake Fromm or a Jordan Love in the second round. I think that's the approach I'm taking as of right now. So Derrick Brown is a guy I'm looking at just because of how well he can shoot the gap.
Well, and I think that if you're talking about defensive tackles, it's not exciting to take back-to-back defensive tackles in the first round, but him and Jerry Tillery are just on a completely different planet as far as skill sets go. I mean, not only is he explosive, he's twitchy, he's giant, he's just a different breed of human. I mean, Derrick Brown is absolutely ridiculous. The Chargers would be a lot better if they were to draft him. He's a guy who would come in instantly and make an impact along the defensive line. You're talking about a guy who could have a, you know, Chris Jones type of impact. That's how good he is. He's more athletic than Chris Jones is. He's the full package as a defensive tackle. He's not going to get pushed around. He's going to give you something in the pass rush game as well. Derrick Brown is a man. A man's man. He's a really football guy. I mean, Derrick Brown, I like that pick. I like Derrick Brown a lot as a player, even if it's not necessarily, you know, the Chargers' biggest need at that point. If they were going best player available, you'd be hard-pressed, depending on who goes ahead of him, to find a better defensive player than Derrick Brown. But, David, who are you looking at for the Chargers' sixth overall pick?
Yeah, just because I addressed the offensive line with my free agency moves does not mean I'm not going right back there with the draft. I think there's more than just one problem on the Chargers offensive line. And because of that, the next person, or the person I want to see them take at sixth overall, is offensive tackle from Georgia, Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas is an absolute monster as an offensive tackle. He is a man among boys. He's 6'5", 320, has great, absolutely great feet. He has a good kick slide. He's an absolute monster at offensive tackle, a guy that has a lot of polish coming out of this draft, a guy that is a plug-and-play starter, a guy that's going to upgrade and bring another level of ability to this Chargers offensive line that they have been sorely lacking for the past, you know, 5-10 years. I mean, this is a guy who you draft and you leave him alone for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about a guy that's going to change the mentality of the offensive line, I also had Thomas as well with my pick. I mean, there's a few guys. I know you said if Jeff Okuda makes it that low, you take him just because he's such a talented player, a top four talent in this draft for sure. But, I mean, you're talking about Andrew Thomas. That's a guy that's going to give you that nastiness, especially in the run game. He comes from a pro-style offense, so he knows a lot of the pass sets and stuff that he's going to see in the NFL. But when you're talking about run blocking and being a physical run blocking team and talking about a guy who's going to finish off blocks, Andrew Thomas is a guy you love. I mean, he looks like Tyron Smith out there. I mean, that's the kind of build that we're talking about. Talking about athletes that are just kind of a different breed, Andrew Thomas fits that mold. He's a guy that, you know, has pretty good footwork. I mean, you're only going to get so much great footwork at at the college level, but he has all the skills, all the physical tools to turn into a starting left tackle for the next decade. And if you're giving me that option, I'm signing up for that right off the bat. He might not even make it to the Chargers at six, but depending on how things play out, I think Andrew Thomas would be a very solid pick for the Chargers at six. And if they don't get him, it's still a pretty loaded offensive tackle class. But, I mean, who's to say you can't double dip and get two offensive linemen in the same draft? But Andrew Thomas, I love that pick. That's who I had there as well. But let's get into our second round pick. And, John, obviously you didn't go with a quarterback for your first round pick, but you do have, in this case, the Chargers picking up a QB in the second round.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that Jordan Love could be a first round pick, but I'm so far seeing a lot of other things saying that he could be second round pick. And I think that seems more likely with the kind of year he had. He had 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, which is not that great. But if you look at the season prior to that, he had 32 touchdown passes with 6 interceptions. So I think this year it was probably just a change of talent around him, probably messed around with his style of play. But if you look at the player that he is, he's a mobile quarterback, but he's not a running quarterback, which basically means that he might run the ball like 6 or 7 times in the game just because he rolled out of the pocket and nothing was there and he ran for 5 yards. So he'll have 6 rushes for 30 yards. He's not going to have Lamar Jackson's style numbers of 7 rushes for 83 yards, but he will get out of the pocket, keep the play alive. I like to compare him to Russell Wilson. He gets out of the pocket, extends the plays, and can throw the ball where it needs to be or just run for 5 yards and turn first and 10 into second and 5. I think he would fit well into Anthony Lynn's system, because Anthony Lynn's not trying to run what Lamar Jackson did or what Cam Newton did or any of that kind of thing. He's trying to just run the ball and then do kind of like the read option type play with the quarterback and then roll out and dump it off into the flat. I think Jordan Love fits that scheme perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, he did run it 81 times this season, so he's not afraid to run it, but you're right. He's not an explosive athlete. He's not a run-first quarterback. He's not always looking to run the football, which is something you want. I mean, he keeps his eyes downfield. He can make accurate throws on the run, which are all things that you want out of your mobile quarterback. I think Jordan Love's one of those guys that teams love to stretch and, you know, pick quarterbacks, even when they might not deserve to be picked that highly. So I think that Jordan Love is kind of one of those guys. I'm kind of lukewarm on the pick, but if you're going second round, if you're going to wait, I think there are worse options that you can get within Jordan Love, a guy who is mobile enough to kind of fit what you're talking about, can run pass options. He's not going to be a heavy read option quarterback necessarily because he's not that explosive athlete, but I do like Jordan Love, what I've seen from him so far. Not sure if I'd want him to be the Chargers, you know, franchise quarterback, but I do think there's some potential there. David, where are you going with the second round pick for the Chargers in 2020?
So the second round pick for me, I was just kind of seeing what guys would bring the most value in the second round. And that's what brought me to running back J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio. I don't really think the Chargers are going to bring back Melvin Gordon. I don't think they should bring back Melvin Gordon. And it's because they can find guys up and down this draft that are going to come in and bring a ton of value. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is a very highly productive running back, 5'10", 217. Just got that low mass, low center of gravity, and extremely productive. This past season, 301 rushing attempts, a little over 2,000 rushing yards, 21 touchdowns, and a 6.7 run per carry average. I mean, this guy, like I said, incredibly productive, and he has the power and the speed ability to make people miss and take it to the house, as he demonstrated against Clemson. Although they lost that football game, I think it really showed what J.K. Dobbins is able to do. He is a home run hitter, and I think he would be a great addition to this Chargers offense.
Yeah, and he's a guy that packs a punch for his size. I mean, like you said, I mean, over 6.5 yards per carry, over 2,000 rushing yards, but at the same time, doesn't have a ton of tread on the tires. He was in a timeshare last season and didn't play as much his first season in 2017. So he's not a guy that just, you know, totally got used up in college, which is something that you like to see. And even though it's not a huge need for the Chargers, I think he would be a really good complement to Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson, especially since he does catch the ball well out of the backfield as well. I mean, 20 catches at least over the last few seasons. That's really good for a college running back. They usually don't get very many targets. So I also was looking at J.K. Dobbins for that pick. But another guy that isn't necessarily considered an early second round pick yet, but I think by the time the draft gets here, he will be. And that is Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver from LSU, the same one that had four touchdowns in the first half against Oklahoma in the last college football playoff game. I love what I saw from Justin Jefferson. And if you look at his stats, I mean, 102 catches, 1,434 yards, 14.1 average, but 18 touchdowns. He's a guy that not only does he have the speed to take the top off the defense, he reacts really well to the ball when it's in the air. And he's just, I mean, not only a speed threat, but an overall good receiver as well. And I expect his stock to continue rising. And I think the Chargers needed that third wide receiver position so badly at times this season when the offense stalled because you kept going to the same guys with the same routes. You didn't have a guy like Justin Jefferson last year when you were on the Chargers. So that's a guy that I'm looking at, a very productive and uber talented wide receiver to take that wide receiver three spot. And one thing we've learned from, you know, our close foes at the Kansas City Chiefs is, you know, sometimes you find a guy that is a pretty good receiver and a great athlete, and you find ways to get him the football and just give your offense that extra layer of explosiveness and figure out the rest later. But if you could see a wide receiving core with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Justin Jefferson, good luck keeping up with that when you also have to cover the short stuff with Hunter Henry and Austin Ekeler, assuming that they bring Hunter Henry back. But he's a guy I'm looking at. You might have to take him early in the second round, even if it's not the biggest need. He's going to be one of the best players available, and he's going to bring an entirely different aspect to your offense if you're the Chargers. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow with some fan voicemails and some other good stuff to talk about. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to get your voicemails on tomorrow's show, it's not too late. Make sure to call into 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. You can also ask us questions on Twitter as well. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.